confirmed over and over. We saw 15 times in various ways. We are told that he was blind no more. So his blindness was confirmed 12 times. His healing was confirmed as well. There should be no doubt that the man was blind. There should be no doubt that the man was cured. We've been reading from verse 59 through verse 7. We'll not read those verses today, but the whole chapter, John chapter 9, deals with the subject of the healing of this man. We see some things that happened as a result of this man's healing. You see, when the Lord saves an individual, it's just not an event limited to that individual. Many things happen when the Lord saves someone. And when that change is very clearly manifested, things are always happening amongst the lost, amongst the one who has been healed. We see, as a result of this man's healing, there were several conversations that took place between various people. We want to look at those this evening or this morning. And as we do, we see that this man had opportunity upon opportunity to testify what the Lord had done in his life. And that is true of each one of us. We have opportunity upon opportunity. You know, people will pray, and I know what they mean, but they will pray, "Lord, give me the opportunity to witness." The opportunity is always there. We need to pray, "Lord, give me the opportunity, give me the wisdom to recognize the opportunity." The opportunity is always there. But many times we don't recognize it. Sometimes people, when they do recognize it, they don't have the courage. And they need to pray, "Lord, give me the courage to take advantage of the opportunity." But this man had many opportunities. First of all, we see there was a conversation of the neighbors with the blind man. Notice verse 8 through 12. "The neighbors, therefore, and they," that is others, "which before had seen him that he was blind." So these are people who had some knowledge of this individual. They had all seen that this individual had been blind in the past. And they began to say amongst themselves, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" So there's a degree of amazement. There is a degree of wonder. Is this not he? That tells me that the change was so drastic in this man's life that they couldn't help but notice. They couldn't help but notice he was different. I mean, if you're blind one minute and can see the next, that's quite a difference. And they could see that this man had been changed. So they began, they're filled with wonder, they're filled with astonishment. This is a mystery. And when the Lord saves an individual, those who know that individual, who are not saved, it's a mystery to them. And I promise you there is always a question in their mind, what happened? They may not come out and ask it, but it's there. What in the world happened? And this is opportunity. But again, there was a drastic change. Some said, verse 9, this is he. Others said, he is like him. So some said, I know it's him. And others said, no, it's someone that looks like him. The blind man's still walking around blind somewhere. This is just somebody that looks like him. So they're trying to figure it out. They're trying to figure out what has happened. And that's the result upon lost people when God saves someone. They're trying to figure it out. And I believe there was even some fear here. And when the Lord saves someone, there's a drastic change. Drastic change usually produces some degree of fear and uncertainty. And so I believe all that was present here. So some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, now he's standing there listening to their conversation about him. And he said, I'm he. I'm he. You see, he now has opportunity. He has opportunity to speak. When he said, I am he, that caused them to ask a question. Therefore said they unto him, verse 10, how were thine eyes opened? How did this happen? How did this happen? Now, when someone asks a question of what happened, the Lord saved your soul, and there is such a manifest difference. Notice the man did not go to them and say, I can see. That's not what initiated the conversation. What initiated the conversation, what initiated the questions was they saw a difference in this man. They saw a difference. And if lost people would see a difference, they're going to ask some questions. And when they ask questions, you have an obligation and you have a privilege of answering those questions. So he said, it is he. And they ask, how? How did this happen? He answered and said. Now, at this point, this man's knowledge is limited. He doesn't know much about Jesus Christ. That's obvious as you read on. But he does know that a man that is called Jesus made some clay. He anointed my eyes. He said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash, and I went and washed, and I received sight. The point is, the manifest change in this man's life led to an opportunity for him to testify of the Lord. You do not try to fit in. You do not try to fit in at school. You do not try to fit in at work. You do not try to fit in anywhere. You manifest the change that has been wrought in your life. And people are going to ask. Oh, they might lay to ridicule, as they did here. But they're going to ask. And you're going to have the opportunity. See, it's not our obligation to fit in. Because if you fit in, they're not even going to ask, because you're no different. You don't appear any different to them. You're not a mystery to them. But when they tell their filthy jokes and you get up and leave or you rebuke them, they know this guy's different. He's different. Not trying to fit in. We see also there was a discourse between the Pharisees and the one who had been blind. Now, the Pharisees, of course, are the religious of Christ's day. Salvation of a soul upsets the lost. It also upsets the religious who are amongst the lost. But we see this discourse, this man who had been blind, had lived his entire life in darkness, is brought before the Pharisees. In verse 13, they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And then the Pharisees began to question this man. How did you receive your sight? And once again, the man testified not what he knew about Christ, because he didn't know anything, but he testified what he had experienced. And every saved individual, before they sit in a single Sunday school class, can testify what happened to them. I mean, if you can't testify of what happened to you, let me say this, nothing happened. Nothing happened. You're as lost as anyone else. But this man could testify of what happened. Verse 15. Verse 14, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he, referring to Jesus, put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Verse 16, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God. They're talking about Jesus. So, where's their anger directed? Not toward the blind man. Their anger is directed toward Christ. They immediately began to criticize Jesus Christ. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner, referring to Christ, do such miracles? Again, notice the focus of their attack. It is Christ. And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. So again, he has opportunity. And the opportunity, the reason for the opportunity was because there was a manifest change in this man's life. Now, if this man, who had been cured of blindness, lived the rest of his life with his eyes closed and still walking in darkness, no one would have asked him. No one would have noticed the change. But there was a manifest change. And questions were being asked. And this man was being given opportunities to tell. And now he has an opportunity. They ask him directly, what do you say of this man, Christ? And we often have opportunity to speak of Christ. Every time someone attacks Jesus Christ, is what they did here. God's people should not be silent. God's people should speak up. If, hopefully, people have enough character, they have enough backbone, that if you heard someone talking about your wife or your husband or your mom or your dad or your grandmother or grandfather, you would speak up. But we're talking about something far greater. We're talking about the one that saved our soul. And that's why it ought to go through us when someone uses his name in vain. But he now had another opportunity. This opportunity is to tell what he thought of Christ. Then there was a discourse between the Pharisees and the parents of the one who had been born blind. They brought him to his parents in verse 20. His parents answered them on verse 19, and they asked them, saying, is this your son, who ye say, notice that now they're questioning whether the man was really blind, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? So they asked him two questions. They asked him, them, is this your son? Then they asked, how does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son. There's no doubt in our mind, this is our son. And we know that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. We have no idea what happened to him. None whatsoever. It's a mystery to us. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, so he's at least 12. Ask him. He is of age. Ask him. Another opportunity. Another opportunity for this healed man to testify. Then again, they called the man that was blind. So now we have a conversation, another conversation, between the Pharisees and this man who had been healed. In verse 24, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man, speaking of Christ, is a sinner. Now again, this man knows nothing of Christ. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, one thing I am absolutely certain of, I was blind, and now I see. I was blind, and now I see. At this point in his life, all he could really testify of is what happened to him. Now, hopefully you advance beyond that stage, and you can answer people's questions concerning the character and the person of Jesus Christ. Well, as you read on here, then said they to him, verse 26, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? You see, they're still mystified. How did this change take place? He answered them, I have told you already, and you do not hear, you do not listen. And that's pretty typical of lost people. They ask questions, but they really don't listen for the answer. Wherefore, would you hear it again? If I told you again, you're going to listen this time? Do you want to be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple. But we're Moses' disciples. May I say, everyone is someone's disciple. In verse 29, we know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, referring to Jesus Christ, we know not from whence he is. We don't even know where he came from. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he's opened my eyes. So once again, he testifies of what had happened to him. Verse 31, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? But see, this man's starting to get to him now. Their hearts being pricked. And now they say, well, you're just ignorant. That's what lost people like to do. When it starts to bother them, when the truth starts about, well, you're just uneducated, you're just ignorant. We're smart. And that's what they're doing to this individual. Well, eventually, the individual is cast out of the temple. We see in verse 34. Then there is a discourse between Christ and this man that was born blind. We see that in verses 35 through 38. And really what happened here is Jesus revealed himself to this blind man. And the result was in verse 38, and he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Now the man's not only saved, but he's beginning to grow. He's beginning to see some things about the person of Jesus Christ. And then there was a discourse between Christ and the Pharisees in verse 39, and Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into the world. They which see not might see, and they that which see might be made blind. So he refers here to the blind man. "They which see not," that was the blind man, "might see," that's the healing of the blind man. "They which see," that is, they think they can see, "they need to be made blind." Talking about the Pharisees. Talking about lost sinners. Verse 40, "And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth." What Jesus is saying to them is, if you knew that you were blind, you would come to me, you would see your need, and you would come to me and I would heal you. But you think you can see, and truly, you are blind. So again, that the teaching is that the lost person has to be brought to know their condition. And that is one of the major flaws. There's many. But that is one of the major flaws of modern day so-called evangelism today. The sinner has to be brought to see their condition. You cannot be saved without that. If you are not brought to see your condition, you may become religious like the Pharisees, but that won't save your soul. So we see all of this again as a picture of the salvation of the soul. Again, let's look to the Lord, word of prayer. Heavenly Father,